With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello for Lava and welcome to the World in Sport. I'm Vinny Wiley. This week,
a lot of people said that I made the wrong decision by turning down contracts from France at that young age because I got an opportunity to earn good money at an early age. But for me, it was all about developing, and I honestly thought that I wasn't ready yet.
We speak to one of the fresh faces selected in the new look Flying Fijians rugby squad. We put the spotlight on women's rugby league with exciting major developments in Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea and Niue. And design work ramps up for the 2023 Pacific Games in Solomon Islands. But first, nine local players, a dozen new caps and the return of Nemani Nandolo headline the Flying Fijians rugby squad to compete in next month's Autumn Nations Cup. Fiji will open their northern tour against Portugal before blockbuster tests against France, Italy and Scotland. One of the new faces in the squad is Northland lock Timor Maiana Vanua, who featured in the Killick Cup win over the Barbarians last year and is now poised to make his test debut.
I wasn't really looking toward the Eight Nation team, to be honest, all throughout this year. I was just focusing on becoming a better player and ticking those small boxes, learning as much as I can off the players that I have around me, you know, using their experience and learning off it as well. To be honest, I wasn't really looking further than Mighty 10. I'm a person who takes like one game at a time, one season at a time. I like to narrow my focus then, because that's how I give my 100% in whatever I do. And I honestly thought, because of the COVID restrictions to travels and stuff, the Eight Nation Flying Fijian team would have been made out of just Fijian players playing in Europe. In that case, I was just like, I'll just give my all in this Mighty 10 season and see where I go from there. Fortunately, they got into contact with me just before our first game against Vanuatu. And yeah, they told me, and I was just pretty stoked. Told my family back home in Fiji and just played by the days it comes.
You'll presumably have to leave behind a Taniwha campaign with Northland that's going incredibly well. You've won 4 of your 5 games, you're top of the championship, and even you're getting on the score sheet there on the weekend.
Yeah. It's words cannot explain, you know, how fun, how good the environment has been with me this year for the Taniwhas, and I've just been enjoying it. I think as rugby players, we need this kind of environment, you know, where we enjoy to come in, but at the same time we're learning off each other as well. The management just created this environment this year, which has bonded the boys together. And that's how we're just looking at seeing it, the results at game time every weekend. And the boys were asking me, is this your final week? I just told them I don't want to think about it too much. You know, like, just want to enjoy whatever days I have with Taniwhas and just, enjoy while I can.
So how did that opportunity come up for you to come over to New Zealand?
Oh, it was straight after the under-20s campaign. I was offered contracts from France, but then I turned it down because my uncle's one of my great role model is Osea Kulintau, the former seventh captain for Fiji to the Rio Olympics. I grew up and I was raised in his house, and him and his older brother Korobawa Kulintau was the one that advised, if you want to really chase to become a great player, you know, you got to go to these countries. In terms of 15s, you got to go to these countries to learn, you know, New Zealand, Australia, learn your key roles, learn your roles and stuff. You know, a lot of people said that I made the wrong decision by turning down contracts from France at that young age because I got an opportunity to earn good money at an early age. But for me, it was all about developing. It was all about developing. And I honestly thought that I wasn't ready yet to chase that money. And then Graham Dews, who was our assistant coach now for Northland, was coaching Waipu back then, 2018. He contacted me. It was on a Sunday. I was in church, you know. In my mind, I was just like, oh, where to from next after I turned down opportunities, you know. But and then I got a phone call from him, and he actually contacted our development officer, William Mandolo. And William Mandolo just gave him my name and number. He contacted me and he told me, oh, you know, we're needing a lock for Waipu. And I was like, yep. All my answers was yes. I was just like, yep. And after he told me what the real picture behind it, and he was just like, oh, well, for New Zealand, it's not like going to France, you know, where you get paid to play rugby. For here, you have to work, you know, and you have to work to get paid, you know. And he told me this. He said, I won't guarantee you a spot in the Mitre 10 for Northland, but what I guarantee you is I'll try and give you an opportunity to play club rugby here. And while he was still talking, I was so excited that I cut his talk, and I just told him, like, just get me over to New Zealand. I'll work myself out just to reach that goal.
And now, Timor, you find yourself in the Flying Fijian squad, of course. Hopefully, once everyone gets over there, the first match against Portugal, then you're playing against France, and then I think it's Italy, and then Scotland, and then a game after that. And how exciting is it to be a part of that team, which is quite a, you know, there's a number of new faces in the team like yourself, so a lot of new blood in a new World Cup cycle, and, you know, some pretty big, exciting test matches ahead.
It's an opportunity too hard to pass, you know, like, as you, we never know when is the next time we'll ever play alongside these great names and the likes of Nemanja Nandolo, who's came back from his short retirement from international rugby. And now in Leone Nakarao, who plays in the same role as me, you know, this is an opportunity where I would go and learn of them and continue to learn and continue to be student of the game and just learn as much as I can in this tour, you know. I always tell myself to be like a sponge that just soaks up water of knowledge out of all these experienced players, you know, and that's how we learn as players nowadays, is just learning off each other. And I find that is a really great opportunity for me, and not only for me, and I think it's a great opportunity for new boys coming in as well, that is an opportunity to learn and play good footy as well.
That's Flying Fijians lock Timor Maiana Vanua. The growth of Women's Rugby League isn't letting COVID-19 slow it down, with three Pacific Island nations leading the way. I'm joined by RNZ Pacific sports reporter Tale Anderson to discuss major developments in Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea and Niue. Talo for Tale, let's start with Vanuatu's only female referee, So'oletawa Motuliki, who's been appointed to an influential group by the world governing body, the International Rugby League.
Yeah, so she's been appointed to the International Rugby League group, which is the Women and Girls Working Group, and it includes the likes of former Kiwi Ferns captain, Luisa Avaiki. She's the head of Women's Rugby League here in New Zealand, and Papua New Guinea Orchids international player, Tahina Booth. So she's really excited about that. She said she was offered to jump on board, and she's just really excited to help further the sport in their country.
And I suppose Women's Rugby League, of course, we're meant to have a World Cup for both men and women next year. A bit of uncertainty with COVID, but, you know, the women's competition's already expanded from, you know, what was it last time, four or six nations. Now we're up to eight. So there's clearly so much room for growth still on that side of the game.
Yeah, she said one of her goals was to help create pathways for the women, because at the moment they haven't got any international games happening. So I think she... From what I understand, she said that they had grown their teams from about two teams to seven teams in the last 2 years. So now she's thinking they need more competition. So hopefully more games with Pacific nations, other Pacific nations, and yeah, eventually get some more pathways for those girls in Vanuatu.
I mean, I suppose, you know, we've seen in recent weeks Elsie Albert competing, you know, from Papua New Guinea, competing in the women's NRL competition, and the first local PNG player to get that opportunity. And we know the talent they've got up there, and ranked fourth in the world, and the game growing so much. So even countries that are supposedly sort of higher up in the women's game internationally, there's still so much to grow.
Yeah, and I think even Saul had touched on the PNG women as well, just seeing how far they've come, but also that's something that they'd like to aspire to as well, just seeing the success that they've had. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she comes up with in her new role.
Indeed, and good to see the International Rugby League have this working group. To obviously means that people are thinking about these issues and wanting to take advantage of the fact that the sport is growing so much, both in the men's and women's game. We touched on PNG just now. They're on the hunt for a new coach.
Yeah, they're on the hunt for a new full-time women's coach, which is exciting for PNG. I know the PNG chairman, Sandis Saka, said they want to capitalise on the team's success. So they are looking far and wide for a new full-time coach, and they're hoping that the women's team will get just as much attention as the men's do over there at the moment.
The Orchids, of course, creating a lot of history already. They've played a couple of games against the Jillaroos, and you know they played last year against Fiji and got pretty well beaten, quite frankly, in the Pacific Test. Fiji were quite upset they don't get to go to the World Cup next year off the back of that, but the growth of the game, the amount of women playing the game in PNG continues to sort of double, triple, quadruple, you know, pretty consistently. So hopefully more can be a part of that NRL competition. And then, as you say, if you've got a full-time coach, it means that you can actually, you know, have some plans kind of in place and have a bit more of a structure, a consistency to sort of try and execute everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Elsie Albert as well, just her having that debut this year with the Dragons has been really motivational for a lot of the women in PNG as well. So yeah, PNG League are just hoping to get more focus on the programs over there so they can get more girls playing rugby league.
And speaking of groundbreaking and new frontiers, Nui, it was only last year that they had their first ever women's team competing in the Cabramatta Nines competition. The team went on to play in the Nines at the Pacific Games in Samoa, and now they're taking that next step in the 13-a-side, the full game, finally going to have a national women's team competing here in New Zealand. People probably didn't think there was going to be any rugby league internationally, you know, a few weeks or a couple of months ago, but exciting times for the Niue women.
It is. I spoke to the Secretary of Auckland's Niue Rugby League, Philip Tasmania, and he said it's massive for Niue. They never thought they'd be considered for such a match like this, and it is the first time they're going to play a 13-a-side international match, so very big to play Tonga next month. Obviously, the team's going to be a New Zealand-based team, and I asked him if there were any concerns about them finding players here in New Zealand, but he said they've already had a number of players get in touch with them and that are keen to represent the country.
And in these COVID times where we've had the Oceania Cup scrapped, we've had, you know, so many things cancelled, be it rugby league or any other sport, to have a little bit of creativity to ensure that there are still able to have some matches go ahead, like this Kiwi Ferns Whetū Samoa and the Niue Tonga match. I mean, that in itself is great to see, and probably a rare occasion perhaps where, you know, teams like Niue and Tonga women would actually get a bit more exposure and focus, whereas if there was all these other games going on, you know, people might get distracted by those.
Yeah, it's massive to have three Pacific Islands feature on the night, so I think that's a huge step forward for these Pacific nations, but also for New Zealand Rugby League, who have kind of had some criticism in the past about how much they're supporting these league groups in New Zealand. So I know that Niue was really happy to be asked if they wanted to compete in that game. But yeah, they're really happy.
And those matches are next month?
Yeah, the matches are next month on the 7th of November at Mount Smart Stadium. So we're at level one now in Auckland, so hopefully we can have a lot of supporters there on the day, and I'm sure everyone will turn up representing and flying their flag for their country.
And I was speaking there with RNZ Pacific sports reporter Tyler Anderson. The construction of new venues for the 2023 Pacific Games is back on track, with a design team from China working with local authorities in Solomon Islands after completing their 2 weeks in quarantine. A number of projects funded by the Chinese government were scheduled to get underway this year, including the construction of a new national stadium in Honiara, before COVID-19 got in the way. The 17 project team members arrived on a repatriation flight from Guangzhou last month and have all since tested negative for COVID-19.
The Executive Director of the National Hosting Authority, Christian Nying, says they have spent the past few weeks on the ground in Honiara liaising with local authorities.
For instance, Solomon Water, Solomon Power, Honiara City Council and other government ministries. Their objective was to find out what regulations requirements are required by the local authorities so that they can make sure they comply with them. And basically they've gathered the information that they require, and they are formalizing or finalizing the minute of the discussions between them and the different authorities and us, National Hosting Authority, for us to finalize our discussions.
The sort of revised target was that if these workers get on the ground, that hopefully the actual physical construction could begin in May. With everything that's happened in the last month, is that still a realistic timeline?
Yes, by the way things are going, they should be able to do the design work by December, and they'll go back to China to get the government to tender for construction. So that should give them ample time for them to prepare to come and commence the work on the 1st of May.
And so how many workers linked to the Pacific Games ended up being on that flight, to your understanding?
We, you know, in the team that came and consulted with us, that work with, there are 17 of them.
And so what sort of roles are they doing? As you mentioned, they're obviously liaising with the various companies. They're obviously still doing some design work and going to the actual sites themselves. But what sort of other things are they doing?
Really, they are project team members that they need to pull together the design that we require for these 7 projects. So they have architects, water engineers, electrical engineers, structural engineers, sports technology engineers, etc. So they are the ones that are on the ground doing investigations and ensuring that they comply with local standards and local authorities.
And so this is the Chinese-funded projects. You mentioned last time that Indonesia was basically ready to begin building as soon as they could get back into the country. Is there any update on whether their workers will be able to get to Solomon's?
They're still liaising with the Solomon's government to find the flight to come back to the country to start construction.
That's Christian Niang, the Executive Director of the National Hosting Authority for the 2023 Pacific Games. And that is the World in Sport for this week. For more, you can head to our website, rnzi.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.